It is not hard to destroy a college.
Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go back to criminal defense attorney Michael Hart. Counselor, are you there?
I am. Sorry about that. Good afternoon, fellas.
Hey, technology happens. No worries. Well, we know the names of the defense attorneys, and you weren't on that list, so I figured I could give you a call and you'd be able to talk in generalities. And we want to start right away with when a situation like this arises, and it's a high profile, whether it's an actor, a musician, or an athlete, what are the steps the accused takes? What are we seeing play out right now, I guess?
Well, the first thing anyone, whether they're high earners or not, should do when they're contacted by law enforcement is to contact their counsel and keep their mouth shut. What's happening now is Mr. Jacobs apparently was arrested or ordered into the jail. He was booked on three misdemeanors and a felony. His lawyers, I'm sure, reached out to the district attorney's office to find out the status of things. They were told, I'm gathering, that they didn't have a complete investigation. And so while they were considering charges based on what reports they had to that point, they wanted additional information to see whether they could support criminal charges beyond a reasonable doubt. The standard that the DA's office has, whether they have a provable case, is different from the standard an arresting law enforcement officer has, which is just probable cause to arrest.
Yeah, so in this situation, and I lived there in Wisconsin for a long time, and I remember sitting in meetings and kind of attorneys would come in to a team meeting and they would give us, lay out all the laws of the state and so what to expect in any kind of situation. And I remember this one specifically where it says any kind of domestic abuse charge, if there is an allegation that's put forth and police are respond to that, someone has to be removed from the premises, right? Is that how the law is read there in Wisconsin? Whenever this came out, though, I didn't realize that police could have these charges and put these things and bring somebody into custody under these charges, and then the district attorney kind of goes about it and might decide that some of these charges aren't warranted, and now there's a whole nother process as it goes into the district attorney's hands.
Yeah, that's correct. DV, domestic violence, is a unique area of the law, and it's not exactly accurate that someone needs to be arrested, but once the complaint is made, the arresting officers on the scene make an assessment about credibility, right? Is this a believable story? And if, as apparently they did in this case, they believed this young woman, they can issue what's called an arrest warrant. Now, I'm guessing, given the fact that the allegation was made on, I think, the 26th, and he wasn't booked, or it was made on the 23rd, and he wasn't booked until the 26th, that he wasn't on the scene when the cops arrived. So they came, took a statement from her, considered it. Maybe she had medical needs or not. They certainly took photographs of her and made a call in the field about what, in their view, the appropriate charges to refer in were. But ultimately, it's the district attorney's office who has to prove the case, and they're the ones who ultimately make the decision about whether there's sufficient evidence to issue formal criminal charges.
So as a defense attorney, I mean, in these types of situations, I mean, you've probably seen both sides of it, where it's like, all right, they maybe the police officers put charges and like took someone in, and it was a lot less, or wasn't like maybe a little extreme for the charges that they placed. But if you're going into this as a defense attorney, your client, like, that type of situation? I mean, what's your mindset whenever you're coming into a situation like this to go represent a client with five charges and one potential felony charge attached to it?
Yeah, well, every case is different, but in the case of a professional athlete or any kind of notorious defendant, these guys are easy targets. They're high earners. They're easy targets. I would impress upon the district attorney's office that this guy deserves as fair a shake as anybody else before you ruin this guy's career and perhaps knock him out of employment for the year or 6 months or 8 months. You better be damn sure that this woman is telling the truth. And here's why: 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, what she says is not accurate. Yes, there was a disagreement. Yes, there's probably some gray area here, but let's talk about a way to resolve it without formally issuing criminal charges. That's how I would generally approach it.
Michael Hart joining us here on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. The lawyers for Josh Jacobs last night released a statement that he vehemently disagrees with the charges and they want the process to play out. Well, they just released another statement that reads, "We are extremely pleased that Josh has been released from custody and that no criminal charges have been filed against him. As we previously stated, we encourage everyone to keep an open mind while the matter is fully reviewed. We remain confident that once all the evidence is gathered and evaluated, it will confirm that no charges should be brought against Josh in the future." And this kind of goes along with the DA, who in the last hour or so released a statement that said, "Further investigation is warranted. We are continuing our investigation and to get all the answers." When this happens, I mean, there are people already on the internet saying, that he's free and that, C told you it was all fake and whatever. And there's other people where it's like, hold your horses. They didn't say that. What does a statement like this say, Mike?
It says that the easy thing to do would have just been to issue the criminal charges, right? That would have been easy. The fact that they are considering whether to issue charges suggests that there may be more here than meets the eye, right? You can't just accept these allegations at face value. You have to dig a little deeper. I think the DA said we're looking for we're told, or we believe there's additional information out there. What he's saying is corroboration. In other words, what supports what either side says objectively, perhaps a text, perhaps some written communication or a voicemail, but something that would support what either side is saying, if they've got a statement from Jacobs at all, and maybe they don't. But if they don't, then what they're trying to do is find support for what she says. They know ultimately it's a credibility call. If they don't have any objective evidence, then it's her word against his, and maybe they're not satisfied with that.
Yeah, I mean, so that's the thing, right? Is like, the district attorney has to look at it from do we actually see the evidence and like it's, inconclusive, or it's conclusive that we need to act on it. So in these types of cases, though, that do you feel like his attorneys, that's the proper way to go about it? You need to just continue to release these statements to make sure, because this is in the public eye. It's not just like a normal type of situation. You got to stay ahead of this noise, because unfortunately in these high profile situations, it kind of gets reversed, right? Like, it's like you're guilty until proven innocent in a lot of these types of situations, at least from a social, from a society mindset. So is this exactly how you would go about it if you were, if you were the defense attorney in the situation?
Yeah, again, I don't know much about the case, but time is never a bad thing in these cases. The court of public opinion is another factor that lawyers have to consider, right? They're protecting their clients. The only reason that I would ever speak to the media in a case like this is if I thought it could help my client, right? It doesn't do me any good to have Mitch refer to me, excuse me, on the radio if what I'm saying doesn't help my client. So what these lawyers have made the assessment that, hey, we need to tell people to keep an open mind that if he hasn't been charged yet, And by the way, they're also pointing to Goodell and the powers that be within the league that, hey, before we rush to judgment here, let's take a deep breath. Maybe what she says is the product of, you know, jealousy, is the product of some other bias that caused her to make this call other than what actually occurred.
Michael, you just kind of hit on my next point right there, is that like that, that's another piece of this as well, right? Where there have been situations where guys, it gets cleared up, but it's kind of becomes a stain on the NFL and it's, you know, a stain on the organizations, and guys lose their jobs or get suspended. And then down the road, that like all the charges are dropped and everything ends up not being a big case or situation. So you got to get ahead of it here, just because, again, the NFL can suspend or do anything if it's just a detrimental to the NFL, and if it's not a situation that they want to deal with at the moment.
Yeah, well, the classic case is the Duke lacrosse situation, right? Those guys were college students. I think they all got expelled, and it took months to, you know, clear up the idea that this woman was making all this up for reasons unrelated and untethered from what she actually claimed initially. And so, hey, let's just slow down, slow this train down, NFL. Wait until due process has run its course, until Jacobs has been given an opportunity to present his side of things, if he's going to, and for us to do a deep dive behind the accuser's statements and see perhaps what motivated her other than what actually happened.
Michael Hart joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network. So what is next, and what is the timeline for what is next? You know, we're waiting to figure out what the DA is going to do. Does Josh release a statement, or does he just do it through his lawyers? And what is the time? You know, you said let time, you know, it doesn't have to be immediate, let time. But what is a timetable with this situation?
Well, on misdemeanors, the statute of limitations in the state of Wisconsin is 3 years, so the DA's office would have up to 3 years to decide whether they're going to bring a misdemeanor charge, or 6 years on a felony, in which case they would have up to 6 years. As a practical matter, neither of those timelines is realistic. I would expect, depending upon what they're waiting for, maybe they're waiting for fingerprints, maybe they're waiting for DNA. Those things have to go to the state crime lab, and as you know, our system is backlogged with stuff, so they may wait a couple months. But this, there will be a result, a resolution to this, I would expect, before the start of training camp this summer, I would think, right? The NFL will do a parallel investigation so that they can satisfy their obligations under the collective bargaining agreement. And Josh's agents, for sure, will do all the speaking for him. They don't want their guy opening his mouth on camera or otherwise. That's their function.
Michael, I got a question. Like from the victim side, do we expect to hear anything from her attorneys or anyone in that situation, or is that usually a space where they just kind of like go under the radar and let this process, you know, play out? Because we've seen this in the public space before, and I don't know from a defense attorney's perspective, if the victim starts, you know, putting more things out there and doing all that, do you start like thinking that it is a little less viable, or like how do you look at it from a victim side as far as where more information, or are we going to see more information come out from her side of things?
All right, so that would be a key indicator on what her motivation here is. The accuser doesn't need a lawyer, right? She, if she's the true victim in the case, has the prosecutor of the district attorney's office who's advancing the criminal claim on her behalf. If she has a civil lawyer, right, that might tell us that is her intent to bring a civil action and she's looking for dollars. And that might also impair her credibility and maybe a further indicator of, you know, why she's coming forward. But on the pure criminal allegation, she doesn't need counsel. The district attorney's office will represent her interests in criminal court.
Oh, all interesting stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's what's your thought like in these types of situations? How quickly do you think that the district attorney will figure out and do run this investigation through and have some charges or lack of charges pressed against Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, I would think that they'll make a decision. And again, assuming that there's no forensic evidence that they're waiting for, right? Assuming they're not waiting to hear back from the crime lab or they're just following up with witnesses or phone records or text information, I would expect a decision in the next several weeks. What's happening now is Jacob's lawyer is talking to the DA's office. What are you looking for? Can we help facilitate this? You know, the season's starting, training camp is starting, OTAs are starting. We really need to stay on top of this. Well, we're thinking about this, that, or the other thing. And maybe his lawyers say, look, on some sort of deferred agreement, we can agree that there was a argument or a disagreement. It was not physical. He certainly never put his hands around her throat. There's no strangulation. There's no suffocation. We'd be willing to accept some sort of deferred arrangement where he'll undergo counseling and some domestic violence treatment or training, and in exchange for that, you'll make the whole thing go away. Before they could cut that deal, they would have to be in touch with the league's office and make certain that they were cool with that, and that it was a mitigated case rather than an aggravated case. There's no reason to go the whole six games. There's no reason to go three games. How about a game and a preseason game and call it a day?
Michael, I have a question in regards to the public hearing this information. How close are those timelines for transparency of what's going on with the courts and with the cases versus when it is this high-profile case that is in the public eye? How quick does that information get relayed to us, the consumer?
Well, not very. Until the case is issued, when it becomes a public filing, we, the public, have no right to an ongoing investigation with either Hobart or the district attorney's office. Now, I suppose someone in the media could file a Freedom of Information request with the Hobart Police Department. I would expect the response would be, we're not providing anything because this is an ongoing investigation. When the investigation concludes, I would expect that the public will be given more information.
All right. Michael Hart, criminal defense attorney in Milwaukee. I think we're going to keep you on speed dial as things progress in this case. If we need to reach out to you again, I'm guessing we can. Michael Hart with Hart Powell Milwaukee. Thank you so much for jumping on today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Michael.
The counselor, Michael Hart, joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show and answering a bunch of our questions. And, you know, I think it's just kind of like a wait and see right now, Mace. Like, that's what, like, there's really nothing the Packers can do. There's nothing that the NFL is doing its own investigation. Obviously, the DA office is doing their investigation. The police have done, you know, their work. And as fans and as sports radio and as...
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Whatever, you know, viewers of the Packers, it's just kind of wait and see for us, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's how this process works, and we're in a time that it seems like the NFL these things tend to happen this time of year. I think in Green Bay, like, we have to look at it and be like, kind of fortunate that these types of situations have been few and far between. And I kind of saw a list, I think it was yesterday, of some of the past situations that have happened with players, there in Green Bay. And if these charges stick and like the DA approaches this, I mean, this could be one of the more high profile Packer player situations that has gone down there in Green Bay. So
absolutely. Yep.
And then it does, like, because we are a sports show and there are things, we got to look at it from a a team perspective. If Josh Jacobs is not on this team, obviously this side of things, the life side and all that, like this side of things is really, it's the most important thing. But from an organizational and a team side of things, you know, this has huge ramifications for what this Packers organization was looking to do this year.
Absolutely, it does. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the Brewers and Kyle Harrison from last night and Abner Uribe from last night. I know there's been a request for a certain theme song, and you will hear it next, coming up here on the Mason Crosby Show.
Getting wild.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.